Scripture reading for this afternoon comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8. Verses 1 through 4. Matthew 8, verses 1 through 4. This is God's holy word. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." So far, the reading of God's holy word. When a mother is expecting a baby, there's lots of visits to the doctor's office. The doctor or the midwife will monitor the growth and development of the preborn child. And then once the baby is delivered, there's still lots of doctor's visits. The baby has to be weighed and measured. And right after the baby is born, they check the heart and the lungs and the hips of these little babies. And then over the years, as this child gets older, there's going to be immunizations and checkups of all sorts. But then there are also those who are on the other end of the age spectrum, those of us who are aging. There's also lots of doctor's visits. We're encouraged to have an annual physical exam to prevent disease, for prevention and screening. And you go to the doctor, and the doctor will say, "Well, I think we should run a whole test. We should make sure everything is okay. We should do a complete set of tests." It's at the age of 40 where men and women are told that you need to make a regular annual visit to the doctor. And at the age of 50, that's when the doctor is going to start asking some tougher questions and consider doing some further screening, possibly. Now, sometimes when you are scheduled to go to the doctor and you have some symptoms, something's nagging at you, you sort of ignore the warning signs. You hope that it's nothing serious. But there's some symptoms that you know you should be taking care of, that you should have addressed, but you're just putting it off. You're just hoping it's nothing really all that major. But in the back of your mind, you're thinking, "Oh, this could be worse than I think it is. This could be really bad." Well, we have an example of a man in the story in front of us, this leper, who knew he had a major disease. He knew he had a problem, but his situation was actually far worse than he thought it was. He was not aware that he had a terminal disease that could actually destroy his life. And so based on Matthew 8, 1 through 4, we're going to consider this man who knew he had a serious problem, and yet it was far worse than he thought. I have the simple title, "Jesus Heals a Leper," with three thoughts. First, there's a misguided request. Secondly, there's a humble appeal. And thirdly, a willing Savior. Matthew 8, this story, actually follows right after Matthew 4. In between, we have the Sermon on the Mount. It says at the end of chapter 4, Jesus was going about in all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. Jesus is fulfilling his earthly ministry by performing miracles, healing the diseased and the sick. Chapters 5 through 7, we have the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus preaches the constitution of the kingdom. And in that divisive teaching, he divides between those who are truly in the kingdom and are seeking to walk according to the kingdom constitution and those who are outside. And then we come to chapter 8. And it says that large crowds still followed Jesus. They had come down from the Sermon on the Mount, from the plateau where Jesus gave that message. And they've come down and followed him. And now there's a large group of people. And Jesus is going to perform this miracle in front of a mass audience. This is not done in a corner. This is not some small little miracle that's set off to the side. No, Jesus is going to very visibly and very clearly demonstrate his divine power. He is going to show with certainty that he is the Son of God. And he's going to show it to the most unlikely sort of individual. He's going to demonstrate that he has power and that he is going to put his teachings and everything that he's been talking about up to this point, everything in the Sermon on the Mount, he's going to put it into action. This is a very visible object lesson for this large crowd of people that have gathered. And Jesus is going to perform this miracle to a leper. The lepers, we know, were ostracized from Jewish culture. They were completely marginalized. But it wasn't only the lepers. In this passage, if you carry on in Matthew 8, Jesus is also going to show compassion to the Gentiles, those who are outside of the Jewish community, and he's going to show compassion to women. So Jesus is going to break down barriers, purity barriers, gender barriers, ethnic barriers, and he's going to fulfill his ministry to anyone who is in need of his compassion and his love. All of those people were shunned by society. They were all pushed out to the margins. They were on the fringes. But Jesus reaches out with this message of love and compassion to them. The text says very simply in verse 1, "And lo and behold, a leper came to Jesus." That in and of itself is an amazing statement. This leper is going to make his way right up to Jesus. Now, first we need to understand the disease of leprosy. It starts with a general pain in certain parts of your body. And slowly, the nerves die, and numbness follows. You have no sensation of feeling. And then the skin will lose its color and its fleshy appearance. And it will become thick and glossy and scaly. And then as the disease progresses, these thickened spots where the skin is not getting any nourishment, any blood, they'll become dirty sores and ulcers because there's a poor blood supply. And then over time, the skin is going to start bunching, especially around the ears and the eyes. And then the eyebrows and the eyelashes are going to start to fall out. And the fingers and the toes are going to be the extremities that are going to ulcerate first. They're going to break out. They're going to crack. And so a leper looked awful. An advanced stage of leprosy, they looked disgusting, is not an overstatement. But not only that, they smelled terrible as well. Because these ulcers on their skin would develop into sores, and it would develop into a, they would have a foul discharge. And so they smelled terrible, they looked terrible, but they also sounded awful. The vocal cords would become ulcerated, and the voice would become very hoarse and very wheezy. And then over time, this person would become just a mass of ulcerated growths. The average leper would live for about 9 years. It's a terrible, progressive disease in which a man dies 1 inch at a time. This leper was very easy to identify in biblical times. When he came up to Jesus, there was no doubt that he was not supposed to be there. He broke all of the rules. By his appearance, by his sound, by his smell, he would have been identified from a mile away. But he broke all the social and ceremonial rules as well. See, once a person was identified as a leper, they were ostracized from the community. They were quickly removed from the rest of society, and they had to go live on their own. The rules for leprosy are mentioned in Leviticus 13. Verse 46 says, "He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He's unclean. He shall dwell alone in a habitation outside the camp." It goes on to explain in Leviticus 13 that this leper had to wear ripped clothes, disheveled hair, they had to cover their lip, and wherever they would go, they had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." Lepers were also ostracized, barred from any sort of walled city. They were definitely not allowed in the city of Jerusalem or any other walled city. The Mosaic Law, back to Leviticus 13, says there are 61 different contracts which could defile a person. And the defilement from leprosy was the second worst, the only one that was worse if you touched a dead body. So to be a leper was an unbelievable curse, death sentence that was put on a person. If a leper even stuck their head in a house, the whole house was considered unclean all the way up to the rafters. If you met a leper out in public, you couldn't greet them. You could have no contact with them, no closer than 18 inches. Josephus, the early church historian, he said, "Lepers were treated as if they were, in effect, dead men. They were dead men walking." And so these lepers, they had to be removed from society. They had to be put in their own leper colony. And so then obviously they could not share in all of the privileges and blessings of meeting with the Lord's people in the temple. All the social and religious consequences toward the leper were based on this belief that lepers were notoriously wicked. They had deserved their punishment and they were getting their just reward. See, the rabbis, the religious leaders, they despised the lepers. They saw them as people who were under God's special punishment, and they deserved no pity, no mercy. If a rabbi saw a leper, the rabbi would either hide or he would quickly pull up his long flowing garments and he would run. Now, rabbis don't run. But that's what you would do if you would meet a rabbi. The rabbis would boast about how badly they treated the lepers. One bragged that he even refused to buy an egg on the street where he saw a leper. Another boasted that he threw rocks at lepers upon seeing them. It goes without saying, the lepers were dead men walking. They were totally ostracized by community, by society, and the rabbis wanted nothing to do with them. But this leper, he walked up to Jesus, and he knew he had a problem. He knew he had a serious disease that needed to be healed. But he also has a misguided request, because he actually has a much worse problem than he originally thought. And so we'll see in our second point, a humble appeal, how this leper comes to Jesus and he comes under great duress. This leper could have been stoned to death for doing that. There were serious consequences for what this leper did. But he comes with a humble attitude and a plea of faith. This leper has unbelievable faith. He rightly knows his desperate situation. He knows he's a diseased man. It says very clearly, same story in Luke 5:12, that he was full of leprosy. His whole body, head to toe, completely covered in leprosy. But this leper comes to Jesus with confidence. He's not doubting in any way Jesus' ability to heal. He has confidence that Jesus can heal him, despite all the social and religious discouragement, despite all the barriers that are put up against this man. He comes anyways. You see, he knew how terrible his disease really was. He knew that other people had given up on him as hopeless. He doesn't have any confidence in anyone else. He knew that no one else would take him to Jesus. He doesn't have four friends who are going to bring him. He goes to Jesus, even though there's no other example that Jesus can heal a leper. Still full of faith, still confident that the Lord will heal him. He still goes to Jesus, even though he doesn't have a specific promise that Jesus would heal him. And he goes to Jesus, even though he doesn't have an invitation from Jesus or the disciples. But there he goes, full of disease, but also full of hope that Jesus is going to heal him. Imagine the scene. This ugly, disgusting, smelly man pushing his way through this crowd of people. Everybody is pulling away. They don't want to come into contact with a leper. Imagine all the looks and the sneers and the jeers that would have been directed towards this man. But there he goes. He's going to make his way to Jesus. And the text says he knelt before Jesus. He fell to his knees and right in front of Jesus, and he bows down. He prostrates himself before the Lord. This is an act of reverence and adoration. There are so many examples of how this leper worships Jesus. First, he worships Jesus by coming to him. Coming to him as the only one who could meet his impossible need. And then he worships the Lord by this posture of bowing or kneeling before the Lord. And then he worships Jesus with this title of Kyrie or Lord, Master, Ruler, the Supreme One. And then he worships Jesus with his humility by pleading with the Lord and then leaving it with him. He worships Jesus with the respect he shows Jesus, saying that all that was necessary was the will of God and he would be healed. And he worshiped Jesus with his confidence that Jesus could make him more than healthy. Jesus could make him clean. A perfect full restoration is what he's sure of. So the leper puts it into the simplest words possible. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. But that's no small request. This leper is covered from tip to toe in leprosy. And yet he's certain that Jesus will heal him, is able to heal him, and will heal him. He's full of faith that the Master will restore him perfectly, completely. The only question is the Master willing? Is the Lord willing? Would Jesus be willing to heal him? Now, the leper is full of faith, but at the same time, this is an urgent request. Let's not think that this is just a polite little ask on the part of the leper. No, he's pleading from the depths of his being that the Lord would heal and restore him. Because this healing is not going to just heal his body. He's asking for a full restoration for his whole life. Everything is going to change. This is going to be a complete 180 for him if the Lord would just be willing to heal him. You see, that's how a sinner comes to the Lord Jesus. The cry of a sinner pursues after Christ, seeking to be cleansed and purified. They come knowing they don't deserve the Lord's blessings at all. They don't deserve the Lord's pardon and restoration. But they come. They come humbly. They come expectantly, knowing that the Lord will hear and answer from the disease of sin. And so this leper comes, and he comes expectantly because he's coming to a willing Savior, as we see in our third point. Once again, the story is very simple. The text says, Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, I will be cleansed. Now, in our English Bible, it's not so clear as to the similarity between the two lines. But when the leper says, you can cleanse me, and Jesus says, I will be cleansed, in the original, it's a very clear play on words that Jesus is coming with an open heart, with a heart full of care and compassion, and he's saying, I'll definitely heal you. I'll gladly heal you. I delight to heal you. So many people had run away from this man. Everybody had avoided him. Nobody wanted to go visit him out in the leper's colony. But Jesus touched this man. He reached out and he put his finger on this filthy, stinky, dirty man. Now, Jesus has touched other people in the Gospels. He touched Peter's mother-in-law, healed her from a serious fever. Jesus touched that young girl, raised her back to life. And then within that miracle, there's also that woman with the issue of blood. She touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and she was healed. Jesus also touched the two blind men, and he restored their sight. There's examples when Jesus reaches out with a heart of care and compassion and love, and he touches people. That's divine power. That's God Almighty reaching out with a heart of love to those who are in need. You see, that's how Jesus reaches into sinners' lives, because he can have that sort of healing touch. Hebrews 4:15 tells us that he was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. It means he truly understands our situation. And when Jesus touched this man, his need and faith found an immediate response in the Savior's eagerness to help. Jesus comes to heal sinners, diseased sinners like this leper. Here we see divine love, divine compassion embrace this leper and heal him. But there's actually a greater miracle in this miracle. You can imagine in your mind's eye this diseased leper who's miraculously healed. But the greater miracle within this miracle is that the clean one is not made unclean in this act. Jesus doesn't violate the Old Testament purity laws. He doesn't become unclean, but he's the one who cleanses this leper with his healing hand and spiritual purity. That's the mystery of the gospel. Jesus Christ, the righteous one, touches unrighteous sinners, and yet he remains pure and undefiled. That's only possible in the light of the cross. The shadow of the cross is all over this miracle. Jesus becomes defiled in the place of sinners so that all who trust in him are cleansed and healed. And yet, he doesn't become unclean. He comes with compassion and healing, but he remains the pure, spotless one. Jesus was the one who was truly diseased, tormented by the wrath of the Father while on the cross. He's the one who cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He suffered the ultimate punishment for our disease of sin in our place. It's the cross work of Christ that we see so clearly in this miracle. And once again, in a few simple words, it says, immediately his leprosy was cleansed. This is a physically gruesome socially ostracizing, religiously crippling, disfiguring disease. And it's instantly repulsed. It's instantly changed. The man's health is fully restored. And all the benefits of having a healthy, normal body are restored to this man. The social, the cultural, the religious activities, all those doors open up to him again. And that meant he could go back to the temple. He could go back to the place of worship. He could meet with God again, with God's people. The throne of access has been opened up to him. And there's no restrictions. He's free to go back to the temple. Jesus gives very clear instructions as to what he's supposed to do to be restored back into the fellowship and worship of God again. And it's the same principle for unworthy sinners. It's only the work of Christ that opens up a door of access, a way of access back to the Father. That's the work of Christ. He brings sinners. He fully restores them back to the Father. And when this man is restored, he is a new creation. He is restored physically, spiritually, socially, in every dimension of his being. He is truly a new person. And so now he's fit for God's service and for God's glory. When I was describing the disease of leprosy, I saw some of you cringing and you were thinking, do we really need to go through some of these details? And I honestly gave you the censored version. I gave you the clinical version of it. This disease is very disgusting. And the reason I went through some of those symptoms is to show you that leprosy is a vivid and graphic picture of our true spiritual nature. That's what we look like in Adam. Sin is ugly. It's loathsome. It's incurable, and it contaminates our whole being. It separates us from God and from our fellow man. The instructions that are given in Leviticus 13 that the priest had to follow to determine whether a skin ailment was serious and that person could stay amongst the people and could be treated, or whether they had to be removed, is a very extensive list. But when we look at that list of ailments, skin ailments, given in Leviticus 13, it gives us a deeper picture as to what sin is like. Sin is inside us, and it's deeper than our skin. Sin also spreads, just like a skin ailment could spread very quickly. Sin always defiles and isolates. And just as those leprous garments are only fit for the fire, all those who are clothed in sin will burn forever. Leprosy is much more than a disease. It's a picture of our true spiritual nature. That's the way we're born. And leprosy on the outside is reflective of the condition of the inside of a person. That's the chronic disease that we all need an answer for. Leprosy attacks the nervous system, disfigures its victims, and that's our hearts by nature. We're internally diseased, full of disgusting pus, and the outward signs are simply an indicator of what's happening on the inside of us. Have you ever come to that point where you say, yeah, honestly and truly, I have a fatal disease? I'm sure you have to see the signs and symptoms of the disease. I mean, you can't deny it. Sin shows itself and we have to acknowledge its presence. But have you dealt with it honestly yourself? Have you said, by nature, from the top of my head to the tip of my toes, I'm defiled. I'm a sinner. That's who I am by nature. It shows itself in thoughts, words, and deeds. More than we can count. We couldn't keep track of our sins. That's who we are. And we have to come to that honestly. And we have to face it squarely. Because grace isn't grace unless we understand the doctrine of sin. There was a Scottish writer, and he told a story about how he went out with a deer hunter on the northwest coast of Scotland. They were sitting down on the hill, looking at the beautiful scenery, looking out over the islands and the sea. And he said to the deer hunter, "A man might sit here forever and in peace." But his companion answered, "You know the old true word of our race. Though a man have no enemy without, there is always one within." Yes, that's true. Within, there's always an enemy, and every soul has its own ladder down to hell. We desperately need a Savior. We need someone who can heal us from this terminal disease. We need someone who's compassionate, someone who's able. This leper, he had a burning desire to come to the physician. He wanted to be cured of his leprosy. And that's how we need to run to Christ. We need to go as a desperate sinner and find healing, find cleansing only in Christ alone. And if necessary, we need to break all the social rules, all the cultural norms, and go to Jesus for healing. We need to be like this man and kneel so close to Jesus that Jesus is able to stretch out his hand and touch him. That's how we need to go, with the same supplications, with the same earnestness, going to Jesus for cleansing and healing. The Scottish theologian David Dixon stated that nothing can keep a needy soul from Christ when it sees relief in him. It leaps over all impediments as this leper, contrary to the prohibition of the ceremonial law, presses through a multitude and comes to him. That's how a sinner runs to Christ, needy, desperate, seeking cleansing and pardon. And for those who have gone to the great physician for cleansing, look back at where you were and how grace has saved you from that miserable condition. May your life be full of joy and gratitude and service for his great salvation. Let's never take this flippantly or casually. When God saves through the blood of Christ, let us live it out with great gratitude and great joy. Take notice that the Lord is not repulsed by the worst sinner, the vilest sinner. He can touch an unclean soul and restore that person. Somebody who you think is totally beyond grace, that there's no possibility the Lord would ever save them. Don't pass them by. Don't think that there's no grace for them. Make opportunity. Share the gospel with them. He can touch the worst sinner and remain pure. He comes with a message of salvation for everyone. He's the only Savior, the only one who can heal us of our sin of leprosy. There's a Savior for sinners who's full of power for healing from sin and overflowing with mercy to restore body and soul. Place all your trust in his work to be cured from the sin of leprosy, and you shall be completely cleansed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen.